listen to our new podcast, the Accountability Podcast. Get all the tea on the governance space. Everything you need to know about accountability. Making governance work for the people by supporting active citizens, responsible leaders.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Accountability Podcast. This podcast is proudly brought to you by Accountability Lab, a global translocal network that makes governance work for people by supporting active citizens, responsible leaders, and accountable institutions. I'm your host, Kibo Ngoi, and today we're looking at what it means to be a government reformer through the lens of a campaign that speaks to the heart of the lab's mission. Integrity Icon is our flagship program for celebrating, encouraging, and connecting honest civil servants who demonstrate exemplary integrity in their work. Every year, in more than a dozen countries across the globe, the public nominates their choice of exemplary public servants in fields ranging from healthcare to education, social work to law enforcement, and beyond. For this episode, we spoke to two of our icons from Pakistan and South Africa that each in their own way exemplify what it means to be a government reformer. The first was Unathi Felita, a social worker in the South African town of Uitenhage, who has been serving his community for more than 10 years. Unathi told us that for him, social work is not just a job, it's a calling.
I always say that we are guided and guided by Ibatopile, where we say that we put people first. Yes. You know, when the client comes to your office, we the heavy shoulders, you embrace the client, you create the environment to be conducive for the client so that you can be able to share the problem, so that you can be able to assist the client. That's what you have to do. So that the client, when he come to your office, you know that at least I am welcome here. The environment is conducive. I can be able to speak to this person because this person avail himself to assist me.
We also spoke to Amna Baig, an assistant superintendent in the Islamabad police force, who's passionate about challenging deeply entrenched perceptions about women and law enforcement in Pakistan. Amna explained that traditionally the police service is considered no place for a woman in Pakistani society, and that women shouldn't call on the police to report crime as freely as do men. As one among a still small but growing number of women police officers in the country, Amna is working hard to change how people see the police service.
So the ratio of female officers in all of Pakistan police is less than 1.6% of the total force, whereas the population of the country, half of the country's population is women. So that's like a very low percentage of female officers in the police service, where there should be more. Then the second thing about our country is that it was not considered a profession very appropriate for women, and because it was male dominated, mostly the issues were being countered by the male officers, and they felt that crime and probably law and order is a thing which is not for women. However, in the recent past, that trend has majorly changed. Now we see a lot of female officers joining the police force, and the reason being not just that there were crimes being committed against females and then they needed female officers to join this force, but also because women started exploring it as a career. And when I joined the police force, the numbers of female officers was very, very, very low. And I think because there are not a lot of female officers, my presence in a police station and my presence on social media and my presence in various forms of media outlets, just to let people know that, yes, a lot of women do not know that female officers exist in police stations. So it's sort of creating an awareness that I'm using different platforms to tell women and make them aware about the fact that, yes, when you go to a police station, there is a female officer there. So if you have anything wrong, you can report it over there and you will be dealt by a female police officer. And a lot of females of our country do not know this basic information. So I try my best to utilize the platforms that I'm given, be it social media, be it general media, to create that awareness. And it's not just the media awareness that we are focusing on. I also try to go to schools, go to colleges, and talk to women and tell them that, And other platforms, for example, I did a TED Talk about it as well, that you need to know what your rights are. As long as you don't know them, you cannot enforce them. So for the longest time, I'm sure you must have encountered that in your country as well, domestic violence was not considered a crime. Like, people would just try to say, oh, the husband and wife had a fight and they're trying to settle it, and there would be serious injuries during those fights. So the awareness aspect is what I try to focus more on, what I try to tell women, because generally when we had issues related to women, we have had issues related to women, we still do at some places. So if a woman has to report a crime, usually she has to come through the male members of her family, because that's considered more appropriate way of approaching the police. And what if, you know, those male members of the families were actually the ones committing the crime against the women? So these things are extremely important to me, and my focus is generally on telling and creating awareness about how it is important. Access to justice is so important for all these sections of the societies which generally do not have direct access.
A key part of government reform is driving change in institutional culture that makes government departments more effective in serving the public. Unathi was able to achieve this by organizing the services supplied to the communities in his area under one umbrella, meaning that members of the public could now go to just one place to have all of their social needs addressed.
I'm that kind of a person that responds to the needs of people. To work in a way that provides services to the commune biased way. You know, as the community, what we are trying to do is that when you come to the service to the service office, we have created a scenario where you'll find all the services within one place. You understand? So that if you want you are coming, you need service with gender-based violence, you'll find it on the same place. HIV and AIDS, you'll find it in the same place. Elderly people, you understand, even with children, you find it in the same place. So that what we are trying to say that within one office, but you access so many services that you need. So that we run away of keep on sending our people from pillar to post, but if they come to this office, they get all the services that they want. That's why that I'm not only, you know, other people will say that I'm only employed, my work plan says that I must work for HIV. I only work with HIV related issues. For me, I don't do that. Even if I work for gender peace, for VEP, victim empowerment program. But I'm a social worker at the end of the day. I know if the person, the client comes for HIV-related issues, I can respond to that. If the client comes for crime prevention-related issues, I can respond to that. Because I don't want to, you know, when it's not an easy thing for a client when the client comes and narrate the story. Then after that, you say, okay, no, I'm only working with a victim empowerment program. I will refer you to someone who work with the problem, with this problem that you have bringing forth. You understand? We call that it's a secondary victimization to a client.
On the other hand, Amna realized that if she was going to change the way women interacted with the police force, she was going to have to bring the services to them in a way that had never been done before.
A lot of women were not reporting crimes because they did not have access to public transport. They were not financially independent. They considered coming to a police station a taboo. They thought it was a bad thing that a woman is going to a police station. So all of these were like cultural restrictions that were being put on women. And one of the reasons that a lot of things were not being reported was because women did not have access to police stations like men do. So what we did was that we tried to increase the access for women to police station by establishing a toll-free helpline. So we established a helpline where women could just call from wherever in the city they were, and they could report something. And there would be a specialized unit of female police officers who would go to her wherever she would be. If she's in a marketplace, she could call. If she's in at home, she could call. And the unit comprising of female police officers would move to her house or her place of, you know, stay. And they would take whatever application she has to give, whatever crime she has to report, and they would register the crime without her needing to visit the police station. So that was one big thing that we did, and it was an excellent attempt. Because a lot of women started reporting a lot of things that when we went to them, they said we would not have reported because, you know, how can we come to a police station? And, you know, it was never considered okay for us to go to the police station. So it's much easier now. Police is coming to us. So we tried doing that, and it's now been 6 to 7 months, and now I'm replicating it in the new city that I'm posted in. I'm replicating the whole concept here because it did tremendously well back where I started it. So that's one way for us to increase the access to justice for women. And we have had feedback from the women who have actually used the helpline to report the crimes, and it has been extremely good. And that's how I feel that, you know, their fear or their, you know, whatever is in their minds regarding police would change once they interact with them and once they realize that there are female police officers who exist. So that's what we did. Yeah.
Driving change, even when it's clearly beneficial, is never an easy proposition. Unathi has discovered this firsthand, but he says he's motivated by his vision of a department of social work that serves the public consistently and effectively.
When you are a public servant speaking to another public servant, it makes things very easy. Because this client now has chewed here in social development, then he's going to make to go and chew here there in home affairs. You found that I've got the client here. This is what the client wants. Can you assist the client? I'll send the client. I'll write a note that I send the client. You make things easy, because if the client comes to social development and must go to home affairs and chew there, when the client is about to enter, then it's 4:30, the office is closing. You understand? We are trying to make things easier for the client. As I was saying, that it was not an easy thing, but I've ran with the vision. The others, they have joined. The others, they are still reluctant. But, you know, most they will see that, you know, when you start something, not everyone will say that. The others will say that, no, it's something that is going to end very soon. But when they see that it's something that is sustainable, then they are able to join.
Amna has an even more formidable challenge ahead of her as she strives to make the Pakistani police service more gender sensitive.
I, Kibo, would like to see a day where I am not being asked or I'm not being quoted as an example of a female police officer. In fact, it becomes normal for people to see female police officers in the position of power or in such, not just police, in other such careers where generally women are not welcomed. So I am looking towards a world where, you know, we would have way more, you know, female officers than what we have currently. And it won't be anything novel. It won't make people turn their heads and go like, oh, this is a female police officer. In fact, it would become a norm. It would be a regular feature of the ongoings in the society. So I want the critical mass of female officers to reach where, you know, it would not be something new or it would not be something which would be quoted. And I want it for all the girls who are going to grow up in this world. I want them to feel safe knowing that, you know, they have female officers where they can go and report. And secondly, now I see because of internet, because of interconnectivity, because of globalization, I see a lot of good practices being replicated from around the world in the police service of Pakistan. And I see a lot of officers making efforts trying to, you know, change whatever negativities exist currently in the department. And I'm seeing them do course correction and make amazing good changes to the existing setup.
Reach out to us on info@accountabilitylab.org if you'd like to get in touch. We'd like for this podcast to be useful for the work you may be doing in the accountability space. What topics or questions would you like us to answer? Let us know on email or on our social media pages, and stay tuned for our next podcast in the next few weeks.
Get all the tea on the governance space. Everything you need to know about accountability. making governance work for the people by supporting active citizens, responsible leaders.